Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Chris Whitman, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Chris, and Tim.
And welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. This is Tyler. I'm here with Chris and Tim, and we are back again. And we are back to hit you with a little bit of the Listener League. We're going to chat about that. We're going to do a little rookie mock with just us, a first-round rookie mock. Fellas, how is it going tonight? How was your weekend, Chris? I mean,
Tim, I let you go first last time. I'm interjecting. No, I'm fine. Both my teams lost today. It was nice to have two games in a row that I really cared about, but I expected nothing better than this, to be honest. The Giants played a great first half, or a great first 27-ish minutes. What are you going to do? Miami, I thought, actually played better than they probably should have, all things considered. So, I mean, I'm fine. I'm not in a bad mood or anything. All it just means now is that when I watch games, I just really do not care. I hate playoff football where I have no interest and not even like one team to root for. I kind of want to root for the Texans out of spite because cheering Brock Osweiler is kind of funny now.
Out of spite of good football?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
that's my thought.
So many worms dying in Houston this past weekend. Worms. Yeah, because I'm an environmentalist.
Are you?
So, no, not at all.
I know.
I'm happy to be here. Good weekend of playoff football. You know, I'm looking forward to the next two rounds. The games just keep getting better, and then sometimes the Super Bowl can be a flop. So, these next two rounds of football is what I'm really looking forward to. But ready to get into these rookies, that's for sure.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. And I think we should let Tim take 101 just because he's the quiet, mellow one.
Fine, but I called 102 then.
Jeez, somebody's a little pushy.
It's like calling shotgun. I called it.
All right, I'm texting your wife right now.
Go for it. She doesn't know what 102 is. She has no idea what that means.
It could be something you guys like have together. Like, hey, let's do 102.
He calls him out. Yeah. 104, baby, 104.
Like that Friends episode 6, 7, 7.
I don't watch Friends. I never watched that crap.
It's a great episode.
Seinfeld.
All right, we will jump right into the Listener League right after we hit you with our little sponsors, the Sit or Start app. You guys got to check them out. They're a great sponsor of ours. You got to check out this app. They have everything. Chris and Tim can tell you they have everything. You know what? I'm sick of talking about them. What do you two talk about the Sit or Start app for once?
Tim, go for it.
Well, I was going to say, guys, I had Twitter interaction today at PSGamer20 on Twitter. Hit me up today with a little screenshot on his phone of the Sit or Start app asking, is this in fact the correct one? Because there are some close ones. I believe there's like a Start or Sit app.
Yep.
It's the Sit or Start app on, on the Apple iPhones
iOS,
or the iOS and the Android game. Yeah, the Android store. Yeah, it's the Sit or Start app that you want to go for. He reached out to me, made sure that, in fact, that was our sponsor. I told him 100% it is. Go out there, purchase the app. You're going to love everything you see on there. It's going to help you in league. It's going to help you with your Sit or Start decisions, get that best lineup in, help you win more matchups. And then the offseason, they're adding in player news, things like that. So it's going to keep you engaged throughout the offseason and ready for your drafts. And then once the season starts, you're right there. You're rolling them out. You're getting the best lineups in each week.
Yeah, it's a great app to use. And we are actually going to have a listener in, and well, a listener league player in, who I owed the wonderful chance to be on. And his name is Jason Thomas, and he will be joining us in a little bit. But he needs to put on some headphones because there is an echo on his end before we can allow him in.
That's why
we are going to let him get that headphone thing on. But
stop grinning at the goddamn headphone.
I was going to say, did he freeze?
Frozen?
Same grin.
I think he froze in the creepiest.
Wait. No. Yeah, he's froze. Get a screenshot. That's creepy.
Get a screenshot, somebody.
Taking up this.
Hold on. I can do a screenshot right here, I think. Yeah.
I'm gonna
there it is.
I'm putting this right on the Twitter timeline. Jason Thomas sent a photo.
That is awesome. We are keeping this right, in, by the way, Jason.
That's fine. All right. So while you're we're making fun of Jason, I'll talk about our other sponsor. It is MyFantasyLeague.com. Honestly, I forgot how awesome My Fantasy League is until we set up this new league, the Ultimate Dynasty Podcaster League.
Woo.
It is just such an easy platform. Cheap plug. It's such an easy platform to do these kind of things like rookie picks, you know, pending, of course, that Tyler learns the ways of doing rookie picks the right and fair way. But it has everything you need. It's really great setup. It gets everybody, it integrates with all your other leagues. It's very simple. If you're looking for one player, you can actually check free agency in every league of yours just by going to one page instead of having to go league by league by league by league. It's just such a great overview. It's like such a great umbrella kind of application to do fantasy football. So if you're starting up a new league, make sure you do it with MyFantasyLeague.com. It is hands down the best dynasty fantasy football platform out there.
Yes, that is true. All right. And our last one is MyFantasyGraphics.com. They are great for customizing that MyFantasyLeague. I don't know if we're going to do it for this Ultimate Podcasters League, which is going to be nuts. We will probably talk about that in the future. I am looking forward to it. I got the 101. Tim has the 106, even though he was able to choose from the field. So it was smart of him. And Chris got the 105, so there will be some awesome sniping between these two fellas. I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that, as a matter of fact. What we did is what's called a Kentucky Derby, where you randomize an order of everybody in the league, and then the 101 in the randomized order gets to pick their draft slot first. So I had the very first choice. I chose the 106. It's 12-team league for multiple purposes. You're still in that top tier of players. It's the quickest turnaround in between picks, and there's still plenty of room to move back and still find value. I didn't land on the 101. Now we're going to get to see if Tyler actually is going to hold on to that 101 and be faced with the, do I pick ODB or do I go with Mike Evans like I said I would last week?
JJ, yeah. 105, baby, 105.
Oh, God. That would be interesting. But we are actually here to talk about the Listener League. And where should we start, guys? We should start with the champion. We announced him the other week. And the champion is, his name is Gas Maskers. I don't get the name. His name is James Harris. He is one of the quietest team in the league, but he won. I mean, he won with Cam Newton, Tyrod Taylor. You wouldn't think that, but it's you get what, 0.20 per carry, so that helps 0.25, those guys.
0.25, I believe, yeah.
0.25, okay. Yeah. And he had like Derrick Henry, Chris Ivory, Doug Martin, Bilal Powell, who really helped him in the playoffs. I mean, the big time names of Moritz Boehringer, Percy Harvin, Nate Washington. No, I'm kidding. Antonio Brown, of course. Randall Cobb, who didn't really help him much unless he played today, but we didn't. DeSean Jackson, Cordarrelle Patterson, Seth Roberts, Emmanuel Sanders. Like, he didn't have much at receiver.
Well, real quick, I mean, we're talking about a 16-team league. So yeah. His championship roster, his lineup in the championship game was Cam Newton, Alfred Blue, Derrick Henry, Bilal Powell, Antonio Brown, Ted Ginn, DeSean Jackson, Emmanuel Sanders, and Antonio Gates. So in a 16-team league, that's not a terrible lineup, actually.
No.
But like I said, when I really started digging into this guy's team to get ready for this pod, you look at the draft and you're like, oof, you know, like he took Josh Gordon the sixth round. Now, of course, this was a July draft, so there's thought Josh Gordon was coming back, and we all know what happened since then. But, you know, the guy was a solid team all year. He went 10-3. He's 3-0 against us. He beat all of us.
Lucky. It was luck. I mean, I ended up 3-10 in this league, so I don't know how I did that.
No, but about the league, though, we actually had some new people in, and a couple of them are people that I know rather well, and they were looking at their teams. They go, man, my team sucks. I'm like, dude, for a 16-team league, both of you have really good teams.
Yeah,
especially Matt. Really, stop crying about your team. It's really good for an orphan team in a 16-team league. But, I mean, this is a team that won the 16-team league. I mean, as you see, he didn't, other than, you know, Antonio Brown, basically, he didn't have any studs. He just had players that were consistently performing and excelled at the right time and just brought it home for him. Bilal Powell, as we said, you know, between that 0.25 and the PPR we have going on. I mean, he also had Zach Miller, who for the first, like, what, 9 weeks of the year, he was a top three tight end. And this is tight end premium league that we have here. in general, this is a hyperactive league. So, I mean, he made a lot of right moves at the right times. He started the right players the right weeks. And that's just what it takes in this kind of league. I mean, you can trade all you want and you can try to get all those nice players. But if you're not picking the right players every week, you have my team, basically. Actually, you, you have more like Matt's team.
You can make terrible trades like I did with Chris. You could trade.
Oh, yeah, two of
you
them.
Could trade, you could trade Jordan Howard and Laquon Treadwell Laquon because Treadwell. You were just sick and tired. Like I said last week, I had a weird phase for like 4 weeks where I was just out of fantasy football. I don't know what it was. I just had a funk. I think the outside life, my real life, my more important life was kind of taking over fantasy football at the moment. So I just, anybody who really sent me a trade, I was like, okay, it's close enough. Like I didn't
you
really
sent
look
me the trade,
much.
First of all. That you sent me the trade.
I know.
And it was Jordan Howard and Laquon Treadwell for Charles Sims, Tavon Austin, and a third. And the reason was because you thought you said that one, you wanted to beat Jason, because otherwise he'd have to come on the show. Of course, he's still lost.
Yep.
And two, you said you had a chance of winning this year, and those two players didn't help you, which of course is funny because Jordan Howard was on many people's winning teams this year. But in week three or four, whatever week it was, Jordan Howard was still a kind of weak backup on a team that could barely do anything with the ball. So like, it made sense at the time. And Charles Sims was getting a lot of hype because Doug Martin was injured and Charles Sims was announced as starter. And, yeah. You know, we love Charles Sims anyways. And Tavon Austin's before, you know, he decided to just, you know, die.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it made sense at the time.
Week three, Charles Sims scored 28 points, 13 rushes, yep. 55 yards, a touchdown, six catches, 69 yards. I mean,
I knew I wasn't competing. I knew I had no chance.
This just
I started off well.
This just goes to show that even in a funk, Tyler's still a very active owner, sending out offers.
But I mean, that's very true.
Commendable.
I mean, even when I'm on my low, I still need to get a little high.
Got to get that fixed.
All right, but Tim, talk about your team because you actually did not draft your team. So if you could talk about your team, it's about what you kind of inherited and what, if anything, you did to it since then. I think that'd be really interesting for people because, yeah.
Can we first say how you got your team name?
Well, it's the Dynasty Happy Hour Listener League. There's two beer mugs in the podcast logo. You use Dynasty graphics for this league. They did an awesome job here in the in the top section of the league. There's a hand coming up holding another beer mug. So I figured I'd keep it somewhat like bar themed. So I went with Dollar Shots Club, and then I found some crazy little logo on the internet and used that as my little logo. So yeah, like these guys said, I didn't get brought on to the podcast till what, week four of the season. So
more
for the first couple weeks, Tyler was nice enough to let me co-own his team pretty much. And then,
on my low,
on his low.
I needed a sponsor.
Yeah.
So
I got him through his patch, even though he was still out there wheeling and dealing. And then you know, we just had a couple guys that weren't very active in the league or just decided that maybe this league wasn't for them. And so a team opened up. I took the first team opening. And yeah, you take over a team, more than likely you're not getting the cream of the crop. So just looking at my roster here, Matt Barkley is a guy I picked up. I have Blake Bortles, Cody Kessler. I believe I picked up Bryce Petty too there towards the end of the season. My running backs were like Matt Asiata, Ryan Matthews, Alfred Morris, Bishop Shankey, Sharkhandrick West. Looking at my receivers, my favorite receiver on the team was Jamison Crowder.
You got from me.
Yes. picked up a couple guys here. Steve Smith, obviously he's played his last game, so at this point I need to go through here and cut him. Larry Donnell, Tyler Eifert, and I believe I had Travis Kelce as well. So my tight ends I liked in this tight end premium format. But this team was hit by the injury bug pretty early. Teddy Bridgewater got injured. Eddie Lacy got injured. Martavis Bryant got suspended. So there's a couple pieces here.
Kelvin Benjamin just sucked.
Yeah, Kelvin. Yeah. I moved on from him. I've made some trades. There was also DeAndre Hopkins on here, which obviously is a great dynasty piece.
You got a lot.
This team just really wasn't going anywhere. And so since I've taken over the team, it was more about making deals that are going to put me in a decent spot to make this team more of my own.
So, yeah. And I mean, if you ever want to get rid of Eifert, you know where to go. So I'm just saying.
Well, you know, I can't really give up Eifert now that I've given up Kelsey. So speaking of the DeAndre Hopkins trade, I gave up Hopkins and a second round pick from Arrogant Bastard, who I believe was our regular season winner.
Yep.
And I think I got something like 3 first round picks. So
actually, you got that. You got 3 firsts from John Bosch.
Yes.
From the Insanity podcast. I'm pretty sure everybody knows who that is. If not, you probably are one of many. So
Fantasy Insanity podcast. He does a great job. You should check that out. John Bosch.
Yeah. He does a great job.
But
we're in a lot of leagues with him. So I had to kind of get.
He's always taking shots at you guys, so it's only fair.
Yeah, that's so true.
But
they're so cheap too. I don't mean cheap as in like, oh wow, he went below the belt. I mean cheap as in really? That's what you came up with? That's the best insult you came up with? Like that's John Bosch in a nutshell.
like he will literally be talking about a normal subject with you. Do okay trade, boom, just like jabs it in there a little bit.
Oh wait a minute, how Derrick Henry do this year? Like, all right, yeah, thanks for selling me him low. I don't understand your insult, sir. Go on.
But based on that DeAndre Hopkins trade, I now own 6 of the 16 first round picks. Currently own 6 of the 16 first round picks for next season. This upcoming
Which ones?
Rookie draft. Oh, off the top of my head, I want to say I have the 104. And then I go like 3 or 4 in a row. I say like 8, 9, 10 maybe, and then like 12.
You have a good young team.
Yeah. So I own 37% of the first round in 2017 and 20% of the entire draft. So I have plenty of picks. So I'm definitely going to start to build this team in my liking. We'll see how that goes though. You know, it could be complete bust picks.
Yeah.
Now, Tyler, do you want to talk about the self-destruction of your team or do you want me to talk about my team?
I'll talk about you go first because I want to save me destroying my team. But all hey, right. A little insight. I got the 103. That's all that counts.
Now I will say this, and I don't mean this as a jab to you, Tyler, but when we actually started off this league, we kind of preempted the original draft date, and I was incredibly distracted during most of this draft, to be honest. And
I was gone.
Yeah. And you moved the draft up prematurely, and honestly, my team sucked as a result. I didn't. If you were drafted with me, Tyler can be a witness to this. I love to trade all of my picks or most of my picks while like in the middle of the startup. I had all of them by the end of the draft. Now, my first pick, it was nice. I think I had 106. I got Mike Evans. I was psyched about it. My second one was Josh Doxson. You know, it was a reach at the time, but if you were there at that time, it was pick like 28, I think, or 27. There was really like I had not much of a choice here. And I mean, I kind of made a lot of random bad picks, like Michael Floyd, I think, was in the 4th or even the 3rd. And I got Tavon Austin eventually, which I was so happy to trade to you. But, I mean, I actually was doing okay at the beginning, but I realized there was no way I was going to be able to sustain this, mostly because I was just riding Mike Evans and Mariota. Mariota, who I think I got in the 8th, and Tevin Coleman, who I think I got in the 9th. So then, long story short, I just kind of looked at my team and went, there's no way of competing here. I don't know why I'm even trying. So I decided to kind of sell off assets and I started selling off pieces to try to get younger and better. So yeah, I did the trade with you. And then yes, you and I did another trade. We did the Mariota 2/3 and McKinnon for Andrew Luck, which I love that trade. I got the Luck side. We actually did it on the air of this show.
Yep.
And then another trade I did a little bit earlier than that was I traded Evans in 2 seconds for Odell Beckham, which, again, love that trade. But I actually think my team right now, it's kind of, I have pieces here and there. So like, I have Flacco, Luck, Glennon, Savage, Geno at quarterback. My running backs of note are just Tevin Coleman, Jordan Howard. That's kind of it, honestly. Oh, now I got like Javorius Allen, who I love, and Kadett, who's trash. But then I got like Odell Beckham. I got Carew, of course. I got Doxson. Are you really offering me a trade in the middle of this goddamn podcast?
Yes, I am.
All right, so then I got Floyd still. I have Brian Quick still. I have Aldrick Robinson, superstar of the Dynasty Happy Hour on my team, which, of course, was a joke. But, I mean, he still came away 65 points, which is 20 times more than Laquon Treadwell has, which is my other wide receiver of note, Terrence Williams. But then I got Kyle Rudolph. This is one of those leagues I waited until the absolute last moment to get a wide receiver, to get a tight end, and it paid off. I was befuddled. I hate Kyle Rudolph, by the way.
I like him. You can trade him. Jack Quayle, straight up.
I don't want Jack Doyle. By the way, Kyle Rudolph, how old do you think he is?
He's like 28, 29.
I'll say 26.
You're joking with this offer, right? This is terrible. All right.
He is 27, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's 27. I'm surprised by that. Okay, hold on. Listen to this deal. So, that's the trade that I offered. Okay. So, Tyler wants to send me Jerick McKinnon, who I traded to him because I hate Jerick McKinnon right now. Vance McDonald, a second, which is going to be late. I think it's the 14th pick or so of the, or 13th pick of the second round. And then 2/3, which are mine, which are going to be, well, 117, 118. All that for Tevin Coleman. I am going to decline, sir, respectfully.
The two players, by the way, Tevin Coleman scored 221 points and Jerick McKinnon scored 193. So,
yeah, Tevin Coleman will have a role in 2017. Jerick McKinnon will be the third running back on the Minnesota Vikings in 2017.
Well, I'm glad we have Chris on the show because he knows the future better than anybody.
I do. Hold on. You want to make a McKinnon versus Coleman bet in 2017?
No, even, why do you
hold
think
on, hold on, hold on, for
Coleman?
Listen, Tyler. Tyler, I will let you have injury because we both know Tevin Coleman's far more injury prone. So even if Tevin Coleman,
there's a reason why I want Tevin Coleman.
So are we gonna do fantasy points per game?
I'll do anything. I don't care. I don't think Jerick McKinnon is going to be even remotely viable, even a spot start in 2017. I think he's just done, honestly. All right. But anyways, yeah, I mean, I kind of started getting picks here and there. I had Spencer Ware. That was one of my big moves that I made. I traded him to, I think it was Brian, for 2 firsts. It was him and Charles Clay. Charles Clay was doing decently at the time. So I got 2 firsts. It ended up being the 13th pick in the first round of 2017 and hopefully better than the 13th pick of the first round of 2018. But yeah, right now I got the 6th overall pick in 2017 and the 13th from trades. So, I mean, I'm very excited. I plan on getting a nice piece in the draft, and we're doing it in April, right, Tyler, or early May?
We're doing it right after the Sunday, right after the NFL draft.
That's cool. I'm more than in favor of that. Yeah. I mean, I'll be looking to get a wide receiver because I think I'm going to need a wide receiver at this point. I'd love to get a running back. I've been trying to do some trades with Matt and even with Justin, the two new guys that are in, but Matt's kind of, pain, to say the least. You guys are laughing.
He's very involved.
He's very involved. That is something you cannot take away from him. He's very involved.
That's very true. I like
he's
that.
A great guy. The problem is he turns every trade into a blockbuster when it's convenient for him, and he wants to turn trade into a one-for-one, you know, great piece for trash when it's convenient for him. But, I mean, he's a very nice guy. The problem is he's never really been in a 16-team dynasty league with 16 people who know what they're doing. Him and I are in a league where half the teams are kind of, you know, average or above. The other half of the teams are, they didn't even know who Jeremy Hill was, most of them. Yeah. So like, I mean, this is hyperbole, but I mean, this is the thing. So, I mean, Matt's trying to figure out the lay of the land and he's not understanding how valuable picks are in this league or in these kind of leagues in general. I mean, have you seen a pick be traded in the first round in the past like month? I haven't.
No.
They're too expensive. Everybody wants so much for them. And like, I get it. I do. And so it's, that's something different about this league than other leagues. I mean, like picks are a little bit cheaper to get in other leagues. They've become really expensive in this league. And even I'm like, I'm increasing my price that I would be having in other leagues of similar nature. So yeah, I mean, the draft can be very interesting whether or not we actually have trades at that point. You know, when you're on the clock or whatever else, maybe people who's going to buckle, the people who have the picks, the people who want the picks. So, you know, I'm looking very much forward to year two in this league. I really did not like my team at the end of the draft. I blame Tyler for it, but I got over it because I did some trades with him that I ended up getting players I wanted. So
there you go. Short, they were feel bad trades.
They're feel bad trades. I'll take it. It's like pity sex. Sure. Whatever. I mean,
yeah. I mean, that's the norm. He looked so sad. I don't know. I just had to.
Now, Chris, you brought something up that the value of the 17 trades or the 17 picks being so high. Do you think this is kind of like it's almost like the housing market? Like there's a bubble and at just some point people are going to be like, I'm just not going to buy these picks. So if everybody says, screw it, I'm not buying them.
Other way around, I actually think the people who own the picks are going to end up selling them for less than they're holding out for now. I think that's what's going to happen. Whoever that first person that buckles is,
that's going to be what's interesting. It resets the bar.
And what's funny is because you brought us, Tyler brought us up already about John Bosch and the picks and Derrick Henry and this and that. Imagine if that trade happened now, like that kind of that value of trade, like Derrick Henry is basically being traded for, like, you know, a second or something like that. That would not happen. So like, how much value these picks have now, even? So it's very interesting. I do think that someone's going to blink eventually in this matchup, because either people who have the picks are not going to really like who they have at whatever pick they got, or people who want the picks are going to be willing to, you know, add in that extra second or whatever it is, or Tyrell Williams, Matt, whatever that player pick is that they have to add in.
Or Moncrief and Parker for 103.
Oh yeah. I have so many stories with Moncrief, Parker, 103, 104, 106, all these different things that have gone on the past few days. Yes, it's been a lot of fun. And this is one of those teams that I feel better about year two than I did after the startup, which is very rare, because after the startup, we all have that, my team's the best and it's so good and this and that. And this team, I went after the draft, I was like, I hate this team. I don't know. Like, why did I let Tyler move up the draft a couple weeks? It's up to him.
I was gonna say, again, he needed his fix. He had to move that draft up.
Yeah. But apparently people don't forget I did that, even though I did. I totally forgot I moved it up.
Oh yeah, I was absolutely rip when you did that. All right. So,
well, let's talk about my dumpster fire.
That it is.
My team name was Beers. What was it? Hold on,
you didn't really tell my team name. My team name is National Karoo Vacation. And it's one of those things that I had. I think I spent a fifth round pick on Leonte Karoo, which hurt. It hurt a lot because I had to.
Just to keep the name.
I had to just keep the name. I had to go Leonte Karoo in a top 70 pick or something. Oh.
Yeah, Jason's calling you out on Twitter for that. He said Tavon Austin at 59 and then Karoo at 70 were both gross.
They were gross. I blame Tyler for this. I would not have picked Tavon. I still would have picked Leonte Karoo because, you know, I won the team name. But Tavon Austin. But I think we can all agree my team is much better now than it was before. Just saying. Go on, Tyler. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's all right. It was blood, sweat, and beers. But I am very superstitious. So I actually had to change my name because I had a horrible season. And I do this with all my league. I have to have a new name if I'm under 500. And until I win a championship, that's when I won't change it. So I changed it to Are You Falcon Kidding Me? Because I'm an Atlanta fan. So that's a little play on words.
Yeah, we got it. This wasn't very funny. That's why we weren't laughing.
National Crucification. Use the name when he's good.
Gold!
Use it when he's good. Like Game of Jones. All right. Well, like Chris said, I had Andrew Luck before. He was a high pick for me. But we did that Mariota trade. I like Mariota. I don't think they're too far away in a 0.25 per carry, because I do think Mariota uses his legs a little more than Luck, even though Luck does use his. He showed promise, so I did the deal. You know, once again, a pity trade, but I do like Mariota a lot. I have Josh McCown, who would probably be off my team, and Ryan Tannehill, you know, Chris's favorite.
Was.
But my running back, I have Corey Grant, who I just picked up, you know, just a flyer for the offseason. Kyle Juszczyk for the Ravens, who catches some balls. I mean, I need running back help bad. I have Jerick McKinnon, who came on late and showed a lot of promise. I have, almost in every league, CJ Procise, of course, who I was so pumped. And I thought when he started that he was going to take off, but didn't, of course. And I have Charles Sims, as we mentioned. I do have Tavon Austin, who I do hope that they use in a different way with a new coaching staff. That is a strong hope.
Nope.
I have Devin Fuller, who is a late pickup in the offseason, who's just a flyer for Atlanta. He showed well in preseason until he got injured, so that's kind of a sleeper for me. I have Will Fuller, of course, and I should have sold him, Chris, after week two when we were talking. Remember, yep. I could have got two firsts for this guy.
Yep.
And I'm like, why would I sell for what I got him for plus a first? I feel like I could get more. I got greedy. I still have him, but I still love having him. He is one of my guys, so I'm glad I'll hang on to him. I have Johnny Holden, who I just picked up, who's kind of just a 16-team whatever. I have Paul McRoberts, another flyer. Cameron Meredith, who came on, I picked him up. thanks to Matt Kelly. I picked him up a week before he went off. Allen Robinson, of course, who was one of my high picks. I love having that. And Allen Robinson, like I said, Mohamed Sanu, I have. He was another late draft. I got Jack Doyle in a trade. Xavier Grimble, tight end. Tyler Higbee, another tight end. Just got in a trade with Marquise Lee. I got a second and Tyler Higbee. It's a tight end premium, and I do like his future. Ben Koyak, who I think is a better tight end than people think. He's from Notre Dame, and I've seen him play. He's got some receiving chops to him. ASJ, who I gave up a third, and I want to say 18 first before the season started, and that hurt me bad. And Neil Sterling, who's another Jacksonville tight end flyer, because I do think Julius Thomas is gone. Then Vance McDonald on the IR. Maybe he comes around, but he is a lot of talent. I have a lot of tight end flyers and a tight end premium, and I like doing that. So that is my dumpster fire. Like I said, I have 103, and I want to say 116. And 103, it could range from Mike Williams, Corey Davis, or McCaffrey. It's a shot in the dark, unless Fournette or Cook drop.
Just keep saying McCaffrey, because it'll get you a better price from Matt.
Oh, I've already told him that I'm thinking McCaffrey.
And if he doesn't go at 103, he's going at 104.
If he doesn't go at 104, he's most definitely going 106.
Tyler, I got a question for you. Just knowing you and the dynasty player you are, what would you say your exposure percentages to Allen Robinson across all your leagues?
The only leagues I actually don't have him in a home league, which is very surprising. And the guy who has him has a vice grip on him. He's a huge Packers fan. I have Ty Montgomery in my hands right now, and I am pushing for this Allen Robinson for Ty Montgomery in a first. I think he might do it. I hope he does, but yeah.
Hey, Tyler, Jason wants to know about your Watkins trade.
My Watkins trade, I got Sammy Watkins. Who did I trade for Watkins? Let's check this out.
Bring it up.
All right.
We don't want any narrative going on here about some made up details of a trade. We want the exact trade about Sammy Watkins, because I remember it being a good trade for Tyler, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
it's funny why Jason's probably typing it out right now. Yeah, shut up. We're getting to it.
Yes, it was a trade that I liked for me.
Let's I liked it too, if I remember right. Tim, why are you typing in the chat? Just find a trade.
All right, here is the trade. Right. I got Ryan Tannehill, LeGarrette Blount, Deion Lewis, Kenny Britt, and Sammy Watkins for Matthew Stafford, Ingram, and Golden Tate.
That's a steal.
Yes.
That's a steal then. It's a steal now. Yeah, Jason, thank you for bringing that up to make you sound like an idiot to us. Thank you.
I did that, and then
type out your snarky remark.
In my kind of low, I also traded Watkins. It was hard for me to do again, but I got my first round pick back, and it's with a 103. So think Mike Williams or Corey Davis with Sammy Watkins. I got a third and a fourth, and I want to say a second.
I don't like that trade for you.
And I gave up Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, I don't like that trade at all.
Yep. So I do not have Watkins anymore. Honestly, I feel comfortable because I do think Williams is going to be a big-time receiver, and I feel like I could get him. And if not, if, say, one of the two running backs drops me, hey, even better.
They will not.
0.25.
I didn't put this together beforehand, but during our rookie mock draft we're going to do, you guys gifted me with the 101. Chris immediately yelled out that he wants the 102, leaving Tyler with the 103, which he actually holds in our real draft. We're doing some scouting here.
I have the 103. What do I have the 103?
No, you have the 102. Tyler has the 103 in our mock. He also holds it in our listener league. So,
gotcha.
As of right now, let's say we were going to draft for that league, we'd get to see who Tyler's going to take.
All right. So, hold on. Speaking of that, do we just want to get into that? I assume that Tyler's silence means yes. So, we are going to move into our mock first round 2017 rookie picks. So, Tim, you have the honor of being 101. So make your selection. Please give a justification.
Well, at the 101, I am going to take Florida State running back Dalvin Cook.
Damn you.
How did you not see that coming?
I was hoping.
Surprise, surprise. The kid shows the ability to not only be a very good running back, but a passing option out of the backfield. He had over 2,200 yards this year for Florida State as a running back, 1,765 yards on 288 carries. It's a 6.1 yard per carry average. He had 19 touchdowns on the ground. Then he had 33 catches for another 488 yards. He only had one touchdown through the air, but 33 catches for a college running back, that's nothing to sneeze at. This kid was used both ways in college. I believe he's going to be used both ways in the NFL. I like him so much, and I keep seeing him mocked to the Carolina Panthers.
What?
I've seen it in like four or five different places now.
I have not seen that once.
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
102 going to Carolina Panthers.
I've seen that a million different places. Yeah, I'm assuming you're going to go with Mr. Fournette, but
maybe.
Yeah, I like Dalvin Cook a whole lot. He's my favorite running back in this class, and obviously my favorite player in this class.
All right. Yeah, you took. Okay. 101 and 102 are the picks that people are going to be debating all the way more or less until August. So that's why one of the reasons why I want to do this now. So yeah, I mean, you took who I liked as 101. You know, which is funny because we're still in a minority here. Most websites do have Fournette, which will be my 102 pick. Leonard Fournette, running back out of LSU. There are still some conflicting reports about his weight. I mean, I see everything from 225 all the way to 233. So let's assume for now it's 230. 6'2". You also see 6'1" in other places. We discussed him a little bit last week. I mean, his upside is Adrian Peterson. Plain and simple. He is a body amongst bodies. It is nice to see him run. He makes great cuts. He's a very safe player in this regard. At least I like to think so. I mean, he has a very safe floor, I think, on a week-to-week basis. I think he's pretty team-proof. I do think he'll be the first running back off the board in the real NFL draft, and I do think that he will be the first skill position who is not a quarterback off the board in 2017. So, I mean, he's going to have a lot of draft insulation no matter what team he goes to. I mean, just quick, he had over 3,800 yards rushing in his 3 years at LSU, over 40 touchdowns. He also had 41 catches, over 500 yards receiving. I mean, he also did this in an injury-prone season. He only played 7 games this year. Darius Geis, the 2018 sensation, is getting got a lot of play and a lot of hype. He did very well. But Leonard Fournette is still one of the best running backs that's come out in a long time here. So his pass catching is kind of his one soft spot. Whether or not he develops that in what team or what scheme he goes to is, we have to wait and see. But he is one of the safer picks. And so 101 and 102 are the easy ones. Tyler, who is your 103?
I'm probably going to go with Mike Williams. I think he's the most complete receiver in the class. I know people say Corey Davis is a route runner, but he doesn't seem like he's going to have that jump ball ability. Mike Williams seems like he's the true number one guy. And honestly, he probably would have been my 102 last year if he would have came out and didn't have that neck injury.
Really?
He would have been ahead of Treadwell, all the receivers. So Mike Williams is the guy for me. He might be a little on the older side for what we're used to for that top receiver coming out. He's going to be, 22.5, almost 23. So he'll be a little on the older side for what we think in Dynasty's older. But I do think, he's mocked to the Titans, and I think that would be a great spot for him. I think that gives Mariota a true number one, and I think he would pepper him with targets, and I think that would put Rishard Matthews as also a better position to succeed as well instead of being the quote-unquote number one for Tennessee. But yeah, I think Mike Williams has a ton of upside. I think he has what I see in tape, the number one receiver, like a number one receiver in the NFL in fantasy ability. And you see that in games, and I love it. I think he has everything.
Does lack of production bother you?
Not really.
Okay. I mean, until I think it was like a week or two ago, it was the last game of the year. He got like, what, 3 touchdowns, 200 yards. I mean, so now his stats look okay for the season, but still not great. I mean, he never really maxed out in terms of production at any point.
Neither did Michael Thomas, and look what happened there.
Which one? Which Michael Thomas?
The Ohio State one.
Oh, okay. Making sure. The good one.
He had, a high of 700 maybe 800. Yeah.
No, did he break 800? I don't think he did.
I don't know if he did, but yeah, I mean,
seven or something like that.
There's a lot of receivers that don't get the production, and you could say he didn't get it last year, but I mean, the dude almost broke his neck or did break his neck. So coming back from that, you got to give him props.
All right. Tim.
So at 104, I got to go with Christian McCaffrey.
Wow.
6 foot, 201 is what he's listed at. Running back out of Stanford. Another player that shows not only is he a good running back between the tackles, he is a good receiving option as well. He's got a athletic pedigree. His father was a major league pitcher. So this past year, 252 carries, pardon me, for 1,596 yards. It's a 6.3 yard per carry average. He had 13 touchdowns on the ground. He also caught 38 balls. Last season, he caught 45 balls. This year, on those 38 catches, 317 yards and 3 touchdowns. So again, a two-way player. Chris brought this up, I want to say, a week or two ago, that the Patriots have shown interest in a player like this before.
Yeah, but I don't think they're actually going to do it.
I've seen the Vikings.
That's the news that's been going on.
The Vikings are the latest team I've seen rumored to have an interest in him. Which
they don't have a first rounder, though.
Yeah, I mean, do you think McCaffrey's a first round player in this draft?
Yeah, I think name value. Yeah.
I think he's going to be a second round pick. I mean, he could go to the first. I think he's more of a second round pick, but I don't know. That's where I'm, you know, like I said, I see the Vikings. There's been rumors of the Pats. That's kind of died down. But like I said, Chris brought that up a couple weeks ago. So I'll go with McCaffrey as the 104 here.
That's a shocking.
It is. But I like it. It's interesting. It's different. But that being said, you made my choice very easy.
Yeah.
Actually, no, you really didn't deep down. But I will go with Corey Davis here.
That's the guy I was torn between.
I don't want to say who else I was torn between here because I think I still have a chance to get him. But, I mean, Corey Davis, the biggest knock on him is basically that it's a small school, that he's not in the top conference. But, I mean, 5,200-plus yards, 52 touchdowns. I mean, he's 6'3", 215-ish, more or less. I mean, he's a very, very solid route runner. I mean, this is just what I like about him. He makes the plays. He makes all sorts of different plays. Wow. I mean, really, the small school thing is the only thing that bothers me. And I get it completely. With wide receiver, I do think it matters a little bit more than running back. But I do think Corey Davis has a very decent chance to be a number two on a team. And a wide receiver two, I think, is a ceiling, which is a shame. But I also think that he has a much safer floor than a player like Mike Williams, to be honest. I think Corey Davis will never be top 14 or 15 in anybody's rankings for wide receiver at any point in his career, but I could see him being like a Michael Crabtree. I think that's a route runner that needs a little bit more time. He needs to go to a quarterback that works for him. So teams he should not go to: the Texans, the 49ers. I could go on and on and on. The Bears. So I mean, he's a little bit more dependent on a quarterback who is able to be patient and do more than one read, which you'd be surprised is a little bit hard. Oddly enough, you know where I actually might like him to go? And Washington. I actually don't think that'd be all that bad because I think they would complement Doxson pretty well. Because that's not what Doxson does very well. But I mean, I think, yeah, Corey Davis is not going to have the upside that Mike Williams is going to have, but I do think he's a lot safer ultimately. And since you took him, you took Mike Williams and you took McCaffrey, who is going to be my surprise pick, I'm going with Corey Davis out of Western Michigan at 105. Tyler?
Well, that puts me in the next tier, I think. I think there's it's a lower tier than what's there. And I've just got to go with upside here at 106.
Mm-hmm. You're going to do it.
I'm going to get Juju.
Juju!
And it's honestly based off of age. He is going to be 20 years old in week one. Think about that. 20 years old. What were you doing when you were 20? Not starting your first NFL game. It scares me because USC receivers scare me. I don't like to draft them. And yeah, I mean, what has anybody done from USC? Aguilar, Tim, what has he done?
Next to nothing. Marquise Lee kind of did a little bit of stuff this year, and he would be the last USC receiver that did anything in this league.
Yep. And I do think he is probably the most polished coming out. He's different than the two. I mean, you watch a lot of his tape, he kind of fades and you kind of don't see him for a while. But then he also makes just this outstanding play where you're like, holy cow, that's Amari Cooper-esque. That is DeAndre Hopkins-esque. He's a big man. I mean, for being, he came in and that dude was in the weight room a lot. You could tell. I mean, for a 17-year-old receiver starting in college, yeah, he was ripped. And yeah, he was 17 in his first college game. Yeah. Mind blown. But yeah, I mean, I'll go upside here. I'm not too happy with the pick. I'd rather have somebody else. But I do feel like he has a floor of a wide receiver 3 and upside of a high wide receiver 2, depending on where he lands.
Yeah, he's such a wild card to me. I don't know.
You're a wild card, Chris.
I am. I'm wild. All right, Tim.
All right, so this is the 107.
This is where it gets interesting, honestly. Like this, honestly, from here, the next like 18 picks, if we were to do 2 full rounds, are super interesting. So because these are kind of the consensus 6, more or less. So Tim, don't screw me over.
We get to start seeing what type of player guys like a little bit.
Yep.
And I'm gonna take the D-Jax, the Brandon Cooks light,
the clone. Yep,
I'm going to take John Ross.
You took my John guy. Ross.
He's 5'11", 190.
I want nothing to do with him. Thank you.
He's a smaller type guy. This year, his first 2 years in college, not a ton of action. 16 catches his first year, 17 the next. But this past year, 81 catches, 1,150 yards, 17 touchdowns, 14.2 yards per catch. He ran the ball 8 times this year, but that's not his normal role. So speedster, quick in and out of his breaks. He shows good hands at times, but he's a smaller receiver. He's going to have to be in a system that's going to probably at first at least get him in the slot, get him away from the press coverage. And then we can see if he develops into being able to play on the outside. That's at least my initial thoughts. We'll have to see. But I look forward to the combine. I think this kid could run a really good 40 time, get people excited for him. And I'm going to, like Tyler said, I'm going for upside here. And this kid showed the upside this past year with 81 catches. So I'm going to take John Ross.
I love it.
I don't like it at all, but I'm more than happy to let you have it. Now, this is where I'm really torn. I am really torn here because there are two players that I have a feeling that if I don't pick, that one of them's going to be gone by the time I get back. So I'm going to pick the player that I more believe in, and that is Samaje Perine. And I actually recently wrote up a scouting report for our secret thing that's going on. And I recently wrote up a scouting report for him. I did some tape of him last week, and I was trying to do bigger backs. I was looking at backs that are over 230. And so I did him. I did Elijah Hood. And I did Deonta Foreman. And so I'm going to go here with Samaje Perine because I think he's one of the more underrated running backs coming out. And I think one of the reasons is because of douchebag extraordinaire, Mr. Mixon, and his role that he played at Oklahoma the past year. But, I mean, with Samaje Perine, he had a monster, absolutely monster freshman campaign, put up 1,713 rushing yards, 21 touchdowns, 15 catches, 108 yards, whatever. But then, you know, it's following 2 years. You had 1,349 and you had 1,060. I mean, obviously less touches in each of those seasons, but he kept up the efficiency pretty well, comparatively speaking. I think with Samaje Perine, one of my things is that I like about him is that he breaks tackles like no other. And he doesn't break tackles from the, ooh, I'm big, I shall run over you. He uses his hands very well for a running back.
Soft his hands.
Very soft hands that he uses to just bat other people away. I mean, he uses his hands for 2 things very well. He uses it for guiding his offensive linemen and his blocking, but then he also uses his hands very well for forcing defenders into very awkward scenarios of tackling him, and it allows him to break a lot of tackles. His secondary speed is not very good, and he takes a little while to get to it, but he can basically bowl over people and he can break tackles like a champ. And I think he's going to be very underrated. He's going to probably go in a later first, early second. But I think he's going to be, one of the 3 down backs that ends up coming out of this class. And I think that his upside puts him at a running back 1, honestly. I think he's going to be a volume play, and I think he's going to turn into a pass catcher. I comped him to a far superior version of Spencer Ware. That's who he reminds me of, honestly.
Jordan Howard.
No, I think he's a much better version of Jordan Howard, honestly. Especially the college level. He's far superior.
Yeah, college level, yes.
He reminds me of a less pass catching able version of Marshawn Lynch. I'll put it that way. I know it's very high praise on him, but somewhere between the far superior version of Spencer Ware and a crappy version of Marshawn Lynch. That's where Samaje Perine reigns. His weight is a little bit in flux here. We hear anything from 230 to 247.
Jesus, 247.
247, I've seen. But I think he's going to be on the lower end of that. I think he's going to be around 230, 233. I think he's about 5'9". I think people have him at 5'11", but I think 5'9 is a little bit more accurate, honestly. He's going to come up pretty well, I think, in the combine. But yeah, I think he's going to be very underrated. He's going to be kind of forgotten because he's not going to be one of the top three or maybe even top four running backs. But I think that he has one of the better abilities to adapt to his situation than others do. And he fights for extra yards, something that I really like. You go at him, he will fight you and drag you for those extra 3, 4, even 5 yards, most of his runs. And most of his runs, honestly, this is my last thing I'll say, are inside zone plays, which you do not see with running backs. Honestly, a lot of running backs bounce it to the outside. They get counter plays. They have, you know, misdirections, whatever else. He does a lot of his runs up in the inside zone, and he has a sidestep in the vision to basically shift at the last second with the changing conditions. And that's something I love to see in a running back. Obviously, a running back whose vision is already top-notch at a freshman level, and he did that. His freshman campaign is just stunning, and his vision has not gone down in any way from freshman to sophomore to junior year, which I love to see because vision is something that's wildly underrated in the NFL. So that's my long-winded speech about Samaje Perine because I just watched a lot of tape on him, so I love him.
All right, I'm going to be the person who hates the most, and I'm going to take Joe Mixon.
Oh, douchebag.
Yes,
he
may be.
No, he is. There's really no question about that. Yes. He is.
But I am also a believer in second chances. And talent, he might be the second best running back. He maybe even be the first running back.
Ugh.
What you see on tape is legit. I mean, this guy can do it all. He catches passes. He is a good runner. He is thick. Katie Flower can quote on that. She likes him thick down low is what you see. You hear all the time on UTH. And yeah, he breaks tackles. He can juke, and I hear he's going to receive a first round grade. I do not think any team will take him the first round after what happened.
No,
I could see earliest late second, early third to probably fifth, but I do think he will get drafted, and I do think he will rise up the depth chart because talent always wins out. And this is usually the area where you want to take a chance, and I will take a chance on a very talented 5-star recruit. Don't forget, this guy was a very high recruited player, and I will take him at 108, I think I'm on, 107?
109.
Jeez, okay, 109, yeah, even better.
Does a small sample size thing kind of bother you?
No, because every time he's played, he's shown well.
All right.
So I'll take that.
Okay, with...
Oh, don't
do
it.
Last pick. It's my last pick in the first round, and I kind of want to make a splash.
Don't do it. Don't you dare do it.
I'm going to KD Cannon, Baylor wide receiver, 6 foot, 180. I don't like that weight. The 180 kind of worries me. I expect him definitely.
I'm at 165 in some places.
I would definitely expect him to add some weight on before the combine. And obviously, with a 6 foot frame, he could probably get up around the 210, 215 range and hopefully not affect his speed too much. But this is a kid, ever since he came into Baylor, he was a 5-star recruit coming out of high school. Freshman year, 58 catches. His sophomore year, 50 catches. And then this past year, his junior, 87 catches, 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns. He's a speedster again, just like my last pick. A little on the smaller side, especially with the weight. But I like the kid. I think he's an offensive weapon. I don't necessarily like his route running. I think his routes aren't the sharpest out there. Also, when the ball's in the air, he doesn't tend to have that my ball mentality. He's not beating tight coverage too often and winning those contested catches as much as I'd like. But he's the type of guy that if the coverage breaks down or he just gets by somebody and you have a quarterback that can get it down the field, he's going to have some big plays. So I don't see him being a consistent wide receiver in the NFL. He's going to be more the boom bust type, but definitely a guy that can help a fantasy team if he lands in the right situation. So with the 10th pick in the first round, I'll go with what I think can be a good offensive weapon here in Kadee Cannon.
I'm surprised, honestly, because I thought you were going to take my man, who is one Cortland Sutton.
Has he officially declared yet?
No, he has not.
No, he has not. See? Hold on.
That's why I didn't take him. That's why I didn't take him.
He's circled right here. Oh.
He wrote on his Twitter yesterday that he was going to make a big decision and that it was going to be a huge move for his career.
There's no way he needs to stay in college again.
No. I'm a little bit.
After we all made our picks, he was going to be the name I was going to bring up. Like, as soon as this kid declares, he is in the first round.
Oh, yeah, no question. This is who I was torn but between him and Pirine.
Is he a Brashad Perriman? Like, no. Exact clone? Smaller no. school, big-time athlete? Just
no, they're shaped very differently, and I think they play very differently. And also, shaped.
One's more of a pear, the other's more of an apple.
Yes.
Depends on what you like.
No, I think the production difference is bonkers, honestly. I mean, Perriman didn't break 1,000 yards in any season. Cortland Sutton just finished a campaign with over 1,200. Cortland Sutton, if you don't know who he is, he's kind of the small school wonder of this year. There's one of these every year. I mean, I don't know how you can classify SMU, but I mean, it's not a top school.
Sanders went there.
That's very true. Long story short with him, I mean, he's a big play, big producer, big dude. 6'4", 215-ish is what you're generally going to see. You might see 6'3", you might see 220. But I mean, he's kind of become a thing, I would say, honestly, because of draft Twitter. They've been really huge in this guy and following him since last year. That's when I kind of got in the bandwagon. When you watch him, he's just that goddamn good. It's hard to explain. The catches he makes, contested catches, are just stunning. I mean, if you look at one, I think from 2 weeks ago, he basically makes the catch that Paul Richardson made yesterday, the day before.
Yeah.
Cortland Sutton's was 10 times better in terms of what he did to catch that ball. Cortland Sutton is going to be a wide receiver one somewhere. That's what I think, at least. The question is kind of what upside does he have and what's his floor? I think that's a little bit scary right now. I think we need to kind of see what kind of athlete he actually is. There's a very decent chance he's going to be a 95th percentile and above across the board. There's a very decent chance of this. He might also end up getting somewhere in the 60s, but I think we're going to see the 90s plus across the board.
I don't think a low 4.5 kills him.
No,
I don't think he runs that. And
what do you think he runs?
4.4 somewhere, like 4.46, 4.48 or so. Yeah.
Okay.
But what you kind of like what you hear on draft Twitter is, you know, small school and all that. But yeah, like you said, Chris, he is a positional convert as well. So he kind of knows.
DB originally, right?
Yeah. Yep. A 6'4 DB. Good lord.
Hello, Sherman.
Except Sherman at 220.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's one of his strengths is that he did play DB, and I don't mean to say that it's like, oh, he understands the game better.
The contested catch thing.
Exactly. It's a contested. He knows how to beat contested catches while staying within the rules. Yep. Like, he's not just one of these, I'm a big guy, I'm just going to push you around. Like, that's not how he plays. He basically hits those angles that a cornerback does not think of. That's one of the things very interesting with him. I really like him a lot, and I know I'm not a positional convert kind of person, but at least this makes sense. It's not quarterback to running back. Those are the ones that piss me off.
21, isn't he? I think he just turned 21 in November.
Let me check. Yeah, it wasn't November. I think it was August.
So he'll be 22 when he steps.
By the time the season starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cortland Sutton is my gentleman. I had a feeling one of you two was going to take him off.
Great pick.
Yeah.
I would have, but I decided to wait till he would declare.
Yeah, I was leaving him out because of the declaration. So I have him circled right here.
I've got two people I am debating on.
Tyler, would you be up for doing two more picks each after this one if we make it quick?
Like,
you just want to do names?
Yeah. Names, two sentences. That's it. Done. All right.
I'll allow it. All right. My next pick is going to be Deonte Foreman.
Damn you.
It's because I just love his tape. I absolutely love his tape. This guy, if you watched the year last year, he was a bit chubbier. He wasn't as in shape, and you could tell he was struggling with kind of the breakaway runs. He wasn't able to pull away from people. He's not the fastest guy, but this year he looks like he got more cut. His arms looked a lot more ripped. And God, I don't even know how to explain it in words to tell you guys how good of vision this guy has. He sees the hole, and if there's a defender in it, it's Le'Veon Bell, but poor man quality, I feel, for his size. Very poor man quality. I see Tim shaking his head, but because nobody can reach that. He, for a big guy, does have a lot of movement side to side, let's just say. And I like that. And I do think with being the leading rusher in football, I do think he will get drafted early. I do think he will have the opportunity to be a starter. He's going to get volume, I'm pretty sure. The catching ability worries me. It could be kind of a Jordan Howard situation where he won't get many catches. And if he gets the opportunity, he will drop the ball. But it'll be interesting. I like the player. I like the tape. He's a two-star recruit, so you know he worked his tail off to get where he is. And I like that in a player.
A little early for me, but a little hyperbolic. But I get it. Let's put it that way. I get it.
Well, then to kick off the second round of my first guy, I'm going to go with, I got the hat on right here, Jeremy McNichols.
God damn it. That's the whole reason why I wanted to do the extra round, because that was the extra half round.
As soon as you said extra picks, I'm like, I got to take one of my guys.
Jeremy McNichols.
That's what I was going to go for.
He just turned 21 in December. He's 5'9", 212, short, compact, MJD style body. Maybe not as short, but 314 carries. 1,700 yards this year. He also had 37 catches last year, 57 catches from a college running back. So this kid, again, another running back that can play both sides of that offensive weaponry there when it comes to passing or running. So I like Jeremy McNichols. I think that landing spot is going to really help or hamper him early on. But as this kid grows and matures, I think he could be a really good running back in the league.
Dude, that's
sorry,
that's
buddy. Sorry. You brought this upon yourself when you said two more picks.
I know. All right. My next pick, I'm going with Alvin Kamara.
Oh, you snipe.
Yeah, I know. That's the whole reason why I chose it, because I knew it was going to snipe you. I think with Alvin
Kamara, you just got sniped.
I know, but it went McNichols, Kamara. So
Either
way, I was sniping one of you. The question was to switch one. So, I mean, Alvin Kamara, long story short, running back out of Tennessee. I mean, he's a pass-catching back, and he's really good at it.
Yeah.
And those kind of players get jobs in the NFL. He may go higher than you think, kind of like how Kenyon Drake went a lot earlier than you thought this year. I think Alvin Kamara might end up being a late second, early third round pick. I think he might go ahead of people like Foreman just because of that versatility. I also think that he may go ahead, may go in a similar area as Perine just because of that ability to pass catch is so underrated from draft Twitter perspective and draft analysis in general. They always think that, oh, they're going to go with the top producers. I mean, I don't think Alvin Kamara broke like 1,300 yards, did he, in any season? I don't think so. I mean, combined.
He almost hit 1,000 this year. I know that.
Yeah. 988 this year, 989 the year before. 13 touchdowns this past year, 10 the year before. I mean, he never even broke 1,000. But, I mean, this is the kind of player that teams look for to fill a gap. And I think he has the ability to kind of expand that gap. I mean, he's no Gio Bernard. He's not. But I think that he's going to be able to garner touches no matter where he goes. Almost any team he goes to is going to use him. And I like that in a running back. It's not one of these, oh, he has to beat out a version of him that's better. There are not many pass-catching running backs in the league, honestly, at the end of the day. There are far more big back grinders, 240 pounds, I run up the middle now kind of guy. So, Alvin Kamara, long story short, bada boom.
That's a pretty good pick. Now, I'm debating on if I want to snipe you again.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't think you can right now.
I'll take the first tight end. I'll take O.J. Howard.
Was that supposed to snipe me?
No, I actually saved. I helped you, pity. But O.J. Howard is just a man. This dude is going to run 4.5. He is scary. This dude's going to be scary in the NFL. Tim is shaking his head with his eyes just
guys
wide
this big
open.
Shouldn't run and move as well and as fast as he does.
He should not be able to run like that. In the championship game last year, I saw him take off, and I was like, okay, is this real?
Yeah.
There should be like a flag thrown, like nope, not possible. Like
that's not allowed. You were not allowed. Stop
like
that.
That movie Semi Pro with Will Fuller when they do the alley-oop. Nope, foul. No, two fouls. That's a travel, double dribble. Yeah, that's pretty much O.J. Howard summed up into one. Just he's going to be a very good NFL player, and Alabama did not use him right. I mean, Alabama, all they do is run, short pass to Ridley, run, maybe a pass to Howard, run. That's how they beat you.
That's pretty much the Alabama playbook.
Yeah. So, I'll take O.J. Howard as the top tight end.
All right. Tim.
Oh, I got like three or four guys I really like here, but I'll stick to receiver. I'll go with I'll go with Isaiah Ford, Virginia Tech, 6'2", 195. He's got the ability to grow into his body a little bit, but right now he's more of a speedster receiver. This past year, 79 catches, over 1,000 yards. He only had 7 touchdowns. I say only, like that's just something to sneeze at, but 7 touchdowns isn't bad. What I see from him on tape is too many balls are getting into the pads. I think he needs to work on those hands a little bit, get those hands out there, and snatch the ball out of the air a little bit more. But maybe like a Will Fuller type. I don't think he's got Will Fuller speed, but as long as he tests well at the combine, I think Isaiah Ford could be like a second, third, maybe even slip to the fourth round type pick. But I like him as a receiver. Maybe I'll say ceiling of like a wide receiver 2 in the league.
All right, now I'm curious, Tyler, who do you think I'm picking here?
Elijah Hood?
No, I don't like him at all.
Really?
Elijah McGuire?
No. I think I probably like Elijah McGuire over Elijah Hood because I really don't like Elijah Hood. He does not look where he runs ever.
Maybe he's got that Sam Bradford eye.
Cooper Kupp.
Really?
Yep, that's what I'm going with. Yeah,
that's awesome. I like that.
I was reviewing his stats as Tim was talking about Isaiah Ford, and I was just like, yeah, I got to go Cooper Kupp here. I had it between Kupp and McGuire. But even McGuire, I'm not sold on him. But I thought you were going to try to tell me that I wanted to go with Gallman, and I was going to tell you
gross
to go F yourself because he's terrible.
I would not take him.
No, I cannot wait to write him up for that thing that we're doing.
That is his running style is going to get him killed. He is going to snap in half.
He never bends, and he runs like Ty Montgomery. He runs like a wide receiver.
You mean really good? Because I'm trying to sell him for Allen Robinson.
Do either one of you play instruments, by the way?
Cello. I play mean kazoo. No, I used to play the trumpet as a kid.
Okay, like so you haven't played an instrument in like 20 years at least.
No.
So
okay,
talk about instruments. How cool of a name would this be for a musician? I play the cello and I scat, and my band name is Ginger Scats.
I get that. Yeah,
that's good. Is that? Are you the only ginger in the band?
I'm the only person in the band.
Oh, it's a one man band. Okay, all right.
I play the cello and I scat.
Yeah, Heath Ledger. Heath Slater. All right. All right.
I just got over that.
I actually meant to say Heath Slater, not Heath Ledger. But anyways, about the whole drum thing, the drumming thing, is that when you play guitar and you try to play drums, when you start playing drums, you're like, wow, I'm really good at this. But you realize that you don't actually know how to play. You're playing drums like a guitarist. And when a real drummer plays, you go, oh, that's why I'm not good. It's kind of the same thing with Gallman, with running back. Like, I watch him run, and it's like, you're not a running back, bro. Like, you think you are, and you're doing like your best impression of it, but you suck at it. And you're still not good. Like when you actually have to do competition, you're going to get messed up. And one of the things is, his running style is just, he's going to get killed. But I don't know how else to put it without being like explicit. He's going to get demolished. First hit, he's done. He can take, you know, freshman DBs hitting him. He cannot take NFL linebackers hitting him. And I don't think he'll ever even see the field. Like he'll be one of those overdrafted busts. If he's even drafted high enough to even get on a, like, I think he's going to end up converting or something because he's not a running back. So, no, I'm not going with him. I'm going with Cooper Kupp, which is another small school wide receiver who's put up some of the best stats I've seen. Like, he's like the Zach Center of wide receivers. I mean, his lowest season is 1,431 yards.
That sucks. God.
Other than that, 1,700, 1,642, 1,691 his freshman year. I mean, he averaged 18 over 18 per reception his first year. Other than that, it's been around 14. He averages over 100 yards per game, sometimes up to 150 per game. And he gets about 20 touchdowns a year, more or less. So Cooper Kupp, he's going to be one of those small school Twitter darlings, and I'm fully on board with this one. I like the way he plays. They're kind of long story short.
All right, so with the last pick of this little draft we're having, I will take Malachi Dupuy.
Okay, wow, you're more than welcome to have him.
And I'm doing it just honestly based off of recruit. He's a five-star recruit, big-time recruit. I'm going for upside here. He's 6'3", 195, I see on DLF. He's not going to run a fast 40. He's going to be more of a route-running receiver. And I just hope he lands in a good spot. And, yeah, that's about all I have. I watched some tape on him when I was watching Fournette. He showed up every often, but I haven't watched full tape on him quite yet. So I'm literally doing this based off of age slash, you know, recruit. He's a five-star, hoping that, you know, the Stephon Diggs comes out in him and he plays better than college. Because
that's exactly who I was going to bring up. Diggs, yep. A five-star recruit coming out of high school. The college production wasn't where you wanted it to be. Obviously, Diggs went to Maryland, who just never had a quarterback, but he gets the league where you know, he's around better players and things start to show for Diggs. So yeah, I could see it happening.
I could see that too. Dupree. Yeah. All right. So that actually puts an end to the show, but let me just read it off real quick. So we went Cook, Fournette, Williams, McCaffrey, Davis, Juju, Ross, P. Ryan, Mixon, Cannon, Sutton, Foreman, McNichols, you bastard, Kamara, OJ Howard, Isaiah Ford, Cooper Kupp, and Malachi Dupuy. I got to say, I'm really surprised we only had one tight end. I don't know if it's because we're all kind of tight end weary, but it's very interesting. I think we might be in the minority right now.
Tim's not a butt guy.
The injury takes him out of the first round consideration for me, but all right.
Injured. Tim still goes for that butt.
All right. That being said, that puts an end to the show. We actually have a review I get to read for you. It comes from Adam. He's a longtime questioner. He sends us emails all the time about different leagues he's in. So he writes it, his name as in kicking it in kimchi land. He actually lives in South Korea. He's an American teaching English. Him and I have talked a good amount. He listens to our show every week. Great listener. He writes great Dynasty insight. I've listened to Chris and Tyler from the very first episode. I randomly found their podcast, and I'm now obsessed with Dynasty Fantasy Football. I cannot get enough. Adding Tim to the podcast with a great addition. Hey, there you go.
Thank you.
Hey, there it is.
These three work well with one another and give you a solid analysis of players and their futures in the league. Great work, fellas! ! Well, thank you very much, Adam. It's really appreciated. You asked really good questions. One of them was about a trade with Andrew Luck and Le'Veon Bell. He got Luck and Bell, I think. Yeah, that was that one. Yeah.
Okay. I do want to say, as much as I give Tim a hard time, this guy is the hardest worker behind the scene. And Tim, I'm going to allow you to give a little sneak peek announcement on what is in the upcoming for the Dynasty Happy Hour.
In a few short days, maybe weeks, we will be launching a website. Articles, rankings. We're going to have links to the podcast. So, you know, if you're at work, you're feeling a little lonely, you want to hear from some of your buddies, you can just link right in, listen to us there. Currently trying to get everything built, get these algorithms and these formulas done on these spreadsheets for these damn rankings. That's killing me right now. But I swear to God, I'll get this stuff done, and we'll get this thing up and running for you guys just in time for these rookie drafts and these startups that are coming. And it's going to be awesome, guys. So stay tuned, and we'll keep you updated on what's happening. So look forward to it.
Big news.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, we saw previews of the site. Tim has done a great job on it, and it's all him. I mean,
and we haven't done anything except for some minor rankings.
And give him
Carson Wentz way too high,
and give Tim pats on the back, and just soft hand touches.
I like this. Yeah, both you guys are higher than I am on Wentz. So
like Smaje Perine kind of soft touches, soft hands.
Oh, soft hands,
soft hands,
softest hands.
I didn't even say soft. I said he uses his hands well.
But yeah, it's exciting. We are growing. We will have our t-shirts up. I'm actually looking to just buy a stack of t-shirts that are completely done already so I can get them cheaper to you guys. I've been looking here in Rochester, seeing if there's any places that are decently priced, then we can get them out. But yeah, I mean, lots of exciting things happening here at the Dynasty Happy Hour. So, but we still have our Twitter, Chris.
Yep.
This is your spot. I'm kind of stealing it, but you take over. I'm nervous. Help.
So if you want to contact the pod, there are two different ways. You can send us an email for some long stuff at dynastyhappyhour@gmail.com, like Adam does, or you can hit us up on Twitter at dynastyhhpod. And if you want to hit us up individually because you hate my analysis, you can find Tim at
TimDynastyFF.
And Tyler?
DHHGunth.
You probably don't want Tyler's advice, though. As a person who's in numerous leagues with him, just saying. I got Michael Thomas at basically the same spot he got Mike Thomas. Anyways, I'm at ChrisWhitman11. Yeah, shots fired. That was John Bosch style, by the way. I'm at ChrisWhitman11. Other than that, I don't know if you gents have any parting words.
I have one thing. We are doing a live episode next week, and we are doing live questions. So get your questions ready. We will answer them. We will answer them on air. And late for people?
I don't know.
Is the average Dynasty Fantasy football player like 75? They eat dinner at 3:30 and go to bed by 7?
Maybe.
They eat their prunes and head to bed.
You got to go to bed early for work on Monday morning.
Ow. Everybody stays up and watches Sunday Night Football all season long. They can stay up.
But now it's over, they want to go to bed.
They'll be up.
So we are going to do a live show, and we'll probably have to figure out the chat because the chatting system is weird, apparently. But we will figure something out. Maybe you guys can ask us questions on Twitter while you guys are watching on YouTube, and we will get them right away. So it'll be right here in your face. Just right there.
So speaking of in your face, by the way, did you see my team name for that Ultimate Dynasty Podcaster League?
Yes. Hilarious. Love it.
It's An Inch Too Short, an autobiography.
That's my life.
You can actually blame my wife for that one. I said something like, I said it was an inch too short. And she goes, that's the story of your life. I was like, oh, wow.
Wow.
Shots fired from your wife, John Bosch style.
Okay. Wow. You can hear insults from anybody, but when your wife says something, it's like, you're just
it's Price is Right. Like, boom, boom, ba-dum. And it goes down.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will be back next week, of course, with the live listen episode where you guys can ask questions. And until then, just keep on keeping on.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at ChrisWhitman11, at TimDynastyFF, and most importantly, at DynastyHHPod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.